and James Taylor, who is the Chief Executive Officer and President of University Medical Center. Would you like to open things up?
Well, thank you all for coming. We're very pleased that the auditor has issued this report. This was requested by U of L President James Ramsey. So we undertook this because we recognize that these precious funds, which have been in place for over 30 years, are used for indigent care, those most needy in our community. And the processes that have been in place this entire time have not changed since the original agreement with Humana to manage UMC. And we felt that it was time for a review to determine if additional checks and balances should be put in place. The auditor has found no misuse of funds, and we know that the hospital and our faculty there provide over $60 million in indigent care. The $35 million offset through QCCT is much appreciated, but it is insufficient today to cover all those costs. So once again, we're very pleased that the auditor has issued what we consider to be a very positive statement, series of statements about QCCT. We will be putting additional governance in place per his request in the first 7 points. And I would also mention, and I believe Mr. Taylor will echo this, that the one statement that's a standout here at the bottom of the first page of his press release, to quote, "While this audit underscores the need for modernization and reform of the governing structure, it does not provide justification for those who desire a retreat from that mission." And I would add parenthetically, the mission of the Quality and Charity Care Trust, providing for the most needy in our community, whose voices are very rarely heard. Jim?
Thank you. I would echo what Dr. Dunn has said about the recommendations that the auditor has offered. We are, after 30 years, I think successfully meeting the intent of the drafters of the QCCT, the local and state government, university, that an updating is certainly a reasonable undertaking, and one that I understand that from Dr. Dunn, the QCCT board, that they will take up. I too would say that I think as we come into a critical time in the funding for the next fiscal year of the QCCT, that I hope that the auditor's sentiment that his report, which recommends in the case of my organization that we go through a different kind of record keeping to provide information that the auditor believes would be helpful in the community having confidence that the funds are spent correctly, which again he has said is true today, but different kind of record keeping can provide, I think, a more modern way of doing that. But I hope that the public will not, in its interest in this audit and the changes that it recommends, in our case, a different kind of record keeping, will not lose track of the major issue here, which is the adequacy of funding of the QCCT. We're in a critical period where local government is going to be making decisions about how to fund QCCT for the next fiscal year. And certainly they are difficult decisions, but as the auditor has emphasized, nothing in this audit should be used as an excuse not to meet the needs of the most needy people in our community.
We'd be happy to entertain any questions.
There was a finding in here about not being able to tell whether all of the folks met the criteria for indigence. Did all of the folks meet the criteria for indigence?
Yes, there was, there again, for 30 years there has been an independent audit of the QCCT, and there has never been any concern that the funds are not applied correctly. The auditor made that statement. I think the difference here is that when the founders of the QCCT put it in place, they wanted to minimize the infrastructure, the record keeping, in favor of applying as many dollars as possible to the actual care of people who needed services. And so there has been a way in which the indigent determination has been made that is made on a, I'll say it, on a collective basis rather than on a patient-to-patient basis. As far as accounting now, every patient who comes, about a third of people who ultimately have funding from QCCT actually fill out an application. We try to have every person who might need to qualify for QCCT to fill out an application, but not everybody does. And of course, we provide care to people before the paperwork, and some people don't want to do the paperwork. Some people give us wrong information. Some people just are gone before the paperwork is there. So we then process the process of determining whether those individuals are qualified for public support goes through a prolonged process that we've explained to the auditor, and ultimately a determination is made if that person qualifies. That determination is made for us by third parties. I think the auditor would have been more comfortable if those determinations were made in-house. We are again trying to be as efficient as we can and keep the cost of administering this program to a minimum so that we can maximize the amount of money available for care. As Dr. Dunn said, in Jefferson County in the last city fiscal year, we provided about $62 million of care. That's cost, not charges, that's cost of care. And of course, the QCCT provides half of that. So there are other sources of funds that we have to provide or to help supplement QCCT. If you look at our overall charity care cost, in that same fiscal year, it was about $80 million, and we had a gap of all available funds, QCCT, disproportionate share hospital funds, of about $20 million that we have subsidized, or I say we because it ultimately is the paying patients who help us pay for the non-paying patients.
How will you change this so that you can meet this recommendation, and how will you get people to fill out the paperwork when they're not doing it now?
Well, I'm not sure that we can. I mean, we give our best effort, but we're not going to not deny people care because they won't fill out a form. And there are some people who, frankly, we can't find after they leave. So we will try very hard to get an application, but we're not going to deny care because there is no application.
And do you plan to implement all of the recommendations that the auditor made?
I think, again, in the beginning, there was a philosophy of minimizing the record keeping in favor of maximizing the care. The auditor has made recommendations to the QCCT board, which is really where to whom we are accountable. And as the board comes together and considers the recommendations, we will be in dialogue with them, and if they wish us to change the way of keeping records, we will do that. We want them to understand the cost implications of doing so and whether the information gathered makes a difference in the end to accountability.
I arrived here in Louisville last July, and in my capacity as the president of the QCCT board, the board is meeting. It met twice earlier this year, and we will take up each and every one of these recommendations, discuss them, and decide how best to implement the changes and make those recommendations to Mr. Taylor and the UMC board.